When a baby is born, you see, the mother feeds that baby milk, just milk, because the baby is not ready. He hasn't developed too much to eat anything solid. I mean, in fact, doctors, anybody will tell you that you might kill him or kill her. You have to just feed that baby milk, because it's milk at that stage provides all that a baby needs to continue developing, the nutrients necessary for the baby to grow. However, you know, there will be something really drastic wrong if that baby is already 4 years old and all that he or she eats is milk. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, milk is good, but if all you eat is just milk as a baby, that's not going to help you too much. You got to eat mashed potato. You got teeth over there. You need to start tearing up meat. But, you know, if the baby's never going to learn what those teeth are for. All you feed him or her is milk from a toddler all the way to when he or she is like 6 years old. You know there's something wrong there. You know, it's almost the expectation that when a baby is born, mothers, fathers, you know that eventually you start measuring things, because that baby is supposed to be growing, moving on to maturity. You see, when a person becomes a... Dan's explaining with that again. When a person becomes a Christian, the scripture tells us that we transition from being baby Christians. You know, you hear the word, you are born again. So you go through a birth. And so as a baby Christian, we also are given milk. Your basic teachings about Jesus, so that we get to understand. You see, we're given milk to drink when we are infants in the faith. Now, the Hebrews, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Hebrews. The Hebrews to whom that book is addressed, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, they were still being infants in the faith, even though they were like Christians for so long. But they apparently, they did not pass the stage of milk. They always stayed drinking milk, spiritually speaking. And the author of Hebrews addressed them and said, you know, by now you gotta move on. You cannot be an infant in the faith anymore. You see, but this phenomenon is not new to us, because I think in America we have that issue going on. In 21st century Christians, we that are still in kindergarten in their faith, that we're still drinking milk, which means like you're just taking the elementary things, like you don't pass, you don't want to move on, you don't want to go deeper into a knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't want that's what it means to drink milk. And I think I see that phenomenon going on in our nation today. That some Christians are content. They don't seem to have a problem. They don't seem to have a problem just staying where they are. They're not concerned about moving on to a mature stage of their faith. I mean, think about it. If you are 10 years of age, 15, 30, 60, 80, and you're still in kindergarten, in terms of the faith, there's something really wrong. You know what? Not even the chair fits you anymore. The kindergarten chair. You know how ridiculous that is? A grown man sitting on a little chair that, you know. And so think about, in terms of our faith, some Christians in our society, and not just in America. I mean, I've done some research all over the world. There are Christians that they are content just being in the kindergarten stage of their faith, pre-K stage of their faith. They're still drinking milk, spiritually speaking. And God's plan, and God expects His followers to move on to maturity. I mean, God's ultimate plan is that we be more like Jesus, that we pass the stage of just milk drinking and move on to like solid food. So in Hebrews 5, let me just, if you got your Bibles with you, let's spend some time. So you see, he has some issue with the audience that he's writing to. He was disappointed. For lack of a better word, he was disappointed with them, because by that stage when he wrote that letter, they should have been teachers, and they were still in kindergarten, talking about their faith. And you see, it's interesting. Chapter 4, the book of Hebrews, is beautiful because it teaches us how to worship Jesus, and it portrays to us Jesus in so many different aspects. Like, Jesus is greater than the law, than Moses. Jesus is greater. I mean, he's the greatest high priest. So he's telling that to his audience. In chapter 5, he started talking about Jesus as the great high priest. Some of us would be like, a great high priest? What's that? If you know your Bibles very well, you know in the Old Testament they were high priests, and they had a mission to go into the temple. They were the ones representing the people to God. They will come between the people and God. And now the author of Hebrews in chapter 5, he talks about Jesus, explaining to them that Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Because, you know, a priest will go into the Holy of Holies, and every time a priest will go there, he will have blood, not his own blood, the blood of calves and sheep and goats. So this writer is talking about Jesus as our great high priest, because he went into the Holy of Holies not with the blood of goats and calves. He went in with his own blood. And that's the thing that he's talking and trying to communicate to the audience. And then he interrupts. He kind of stopped telling them the whole implications of what it means that Jesus is our great high priest, because he realized, I'm talking to these people and they don't get it very well. And let's go now with me in chapter 5, verse 11. This is what he says. We have so much to say about this. So he's telling them Jesus is the high priest and explaining, you know, how a high priest would do that. And so in verse 11, he says, we have so much to say about this. Some translation would say, we have so much to say to you about Jesus, but it is hard to explain. Why? Because you are slow to learn. The NIV says, I like the ESV rendition of that verse, because it says, the Blue Bible says, you are dull of hearing. You don't listen very well. That'd be my interpretation. You don't hear very well. So the NIV says, it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So, you see, he's writing to this church, this Jewish church, and he's so excited. He's explaining to them about Jesus, and finally he realized, you know what? It's hard to explain it to you, because you're not going to get it. Or you don't get it because you're still in an infant stage. You know how it is? Like, there are people in churches that they're content just to go to church and they don't want to go deeper. In fact, they're afraid to go deeper because they're content just to being babies in the faith. And that's a problem, because you got to move on to maturity. So look at this warning that he's addressing to the church. He said, we have so much to say to you. We have so much to teach you and tell you, explain to you. But it is hard because you are slow to learn. You are dull in hearing. You're not sharp hearers. You don't listen very well. Even in fact, by now, you ought to be teachers. Listen to that. I mean, you ought to be teachers. You got to be teaching somebody, but you need somebody else to teach you the elementary, the basic. He's just like, wow. So you need milk then. You're still on the stage of drinking milk, spiritually speaking. Because you have become lazy in your hearing. The word dull of hearing also carries the idea of sluggish. Like lazy into like really listening when it comes to the Word of God. So like I said, the Hebrews were still in the pre-K when they should have been already the teachers of everybody else there. But instead, like the author of Hebrews says, they needed somebody else to reteach him, to teach him again. You know, you're never going to mature enough. It's like you're still going through the same thing. Like, not what faith is. Or what, you know, it's like you got to go deeper. The Bible has so many teachings out there that it's for us. God revealed those things for us to get to know him. I knew an elder personally. Every time he heard the word predestination, he panicked. And the church, I'm feeling like it's in the Bible for a reason. Maybe you need to understand it better so you don't be panicking. If we're going to study the book of Revelation, there are so many Christians that we know that they're so afraid of the book of Revelation. The only book in the Bible that says, read me, I'm special. The only book in the Bible that has a blessing for the hearers and the reader. But you did not know that because you didn't read it. But there are a lot of people like, oh, for Revelation, because there's so many wrathing, trumpets. But you got to go into the context. You got to know what it is. Unless you get into it, you know, but some people, like, they're content just going to church and not getting too much into that, because, like, going deeper, it scares people a lot. But that's really what God's calling us to do. There's a time in us being born again that we got to move on from childhood into maturity. So then we train the other ones that come behind us. The Hebrews, the problem that they had is that they were still drinking milk. When the writer says, you ought to be teacher right now. What are you doing in church all these years and you're still drinking milk? But there's a huge problem right there. Infants in the faith. Now look what he says. Verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths, the basic things of God, of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Like, if you live on milk, he says, it's a sign that you don't even know the teaching of righteousness. You have no idea what righteousness is. The oracles, like, why in the world are you going to understand righteousness in some of the other teachings when you're still just drinking milk spiritually? And then he says, anyone who lives on milk, well, you're still an infant, a baby. You're not acquainted with their teaching about righteousness. We know that solid food is for the mature. He talks about and explains to us what the mature person is. It's that person who can distinguish between wrong and right. A baby doesn't. You know, like Hunter, for instance, he doesn't know what's right and wrong yet. He smiles at you and he's a beautiful baby, but he doesn't understand that yet because he's an infant. That's why he drinks milk. He's not eating potatoes yet. But he will come to the stage in his life that he's going to be giving a lot of things just like an adult person. You see, so think about that. The application here is that these people were in the church for so long and they were still drinking milk. And that's why I say, that's something wrong. You ought to be the teachers right now. And you're not ready even for solid food because you don't want to. You don't want it. He said, you are unskilled when it comes to like distinguishing or discerning what is right and wrong. In other words, you are a baby in the faith. Because the application and the implication here is that if you're a mature person, you know exactly what's right and what's wrong. You can distinguish, you can separate, you know. And that's what he says, look at verse 14. The solid food is for the mature who, by constant use, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Somebody who moves on to maturity is somebody who knows exactly what he or she is doing and what he's doing is right or is evil or wrong. And then chapter 6, he tells them, therefore, let us leave the elementary truths. We have to move on to maturity, he said. Let us leave behind the basics. I mean, let us leave behind the elementary truths about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God and instruction about washing or baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, the interesting thing here, all the thing that he mentions for the writer, he said, that's just basic. Now, think about that. How many of us really know all those things that he's talking about there? He said, like, think about repentance, the resurrection. I mean, Christians don't even know that there's going to be a resurrection of both righteous and unrighteous people because they're just drinking milk. They don't want to go deeper into the whole resurrection thing. It's like even in the Old Testament. So what he lists here is basic stuff. He says, we got to move on from the elementary teachings of Jesus. I mean, you should know who Jesus is already. Move on to something deeper, like he's the great high priest. What does that actually mean? You know, and he says, laying again the foundation. I mean, you want somebody, you're going back to the same basic stuff. You're going back to pre-K stuff. It's like, and you know that there's something wrong and you don't want to go move on to college. Are you content just in fifth grade? Some of you guys in fifth grade, you don't want to move on. Yeah, maybe you're scared, but eventually you have to. You want to be a professional. You want to be somebody tomorrow. You have to leave the kindergarten chair alone and go on to maturity. Think about that in terms of our spiritual walk with God. There's going to be a point in our lives that we have to move forward. We have to grow. We have to grow up. We have to move. You cannot just hang out in church the rest of your life. In fact, God doesn't save you just for that. You got to move on to maturity, he says. Now, foundation of repentance. He says, leave the basic teachings of Jesus. I mean, those things are great. Foundations of repentance from the ESV said from dead works or from dead deeds. The NIV might be a little confusing when it's like from, he says, about Christ, go mature from acts that lead to death. People are like, what? Think about dead works. Sometimes you do things that really don't have any production, any fruit, and just like really dead deeds that you perform. So the author of Hebrews says, move on from that. But you're going to continue doing the same thing, expecting results? That's called insanity. When you do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results, it's not going to happen. I mean, move on. And then he said, he talks about instructions about baptism. Some translations will say washings. And now, how about this one? Many of us never heard of it, like laying on of hands. Please, let me just explain that to you, because it has nothing to do with some preachers and things that push people. That's the laying on of the hands, perhaps, or the thing. You don't find that nowhere in the Bible, but you do find this. Every time somebody's praying for somebody, check out, they lay their hands on them. So this have prayer all over the place. Oh, when they appointed the seven deacons in chapter 6 of Acts, they pray and lay their hands on them. It's almost like saying, Lord, these are your people. We implore your power, your strength on them. That's the laying of the hands. It has nothing to do with pushing you. But the preacher, or some preachers go like, everybody falls, like they are the ones with the powers, right? It has nothing to do with that. Laying of the hands and prayer. So instructions about prayers. We should know what prayer is. How he taught us how to pray. So there's a Christian and still, but I don't know how to pray. But you better learn it. Because, you know, it's like, I mean, even Jesus taught us. And then he goes on, instructions about baptism. We know why we baptize people, what it is. We should know that. It should not just be the preacher explaining to others what baptism is. Or you saying, but let Israel explain to you what baptism is. You should know it. What if Israel is gone tomorrow? And I had to write a letter like this guy did. Like, by now, you ought to be teachers at Staten Island. Let's go. What are you doing? Don't just depend on the preacher. So teachers about laying hands, the resurrection of the dead that we're looking for. That's the hope of the Christian. We should know that eternal judgment, that will take place. Judgment day will happen. And then he to me, it boggles my mind. He said, this is just basic stuff, church. And then he said, you got to move on from that. Talk about righteousness and maybe justification and things like that you might, what it means to evangelize, I mean, move on, get into deeper things. Those hard teachings in the Bible that might be hard to understand, that's what you got to get in. Now, this is what he instructed the Hebrews back in the first century. Now, let's bring that into our scenario today. How do you and I move on from pre-K stage of our faith? How can we move on into maturity? How can we do that? First thing we need to do is that we need to tune up our hearing to hear God's word better. How you and I can move on to maturity, we got to tune up our ears. And you know how hard it is in our society, like Lola was telling us today, we get distracted so easily and, you know, so many voices and so many texts and things flowing around, we don't have time for God right now. I mean, can you imagine us telling God we don't have time for you? And it's like, it's hard to tune up your hearing just to hear His word. See, as your hearing goes, so will your faith. How do I know that? Think about it. As your hearing goes or develops, so will your faith. Because faith comes from hearing. If you don't hear much, your faith, don't expect it to be great or strong, because as your hearing goes, so will your faith. That's why in order for us to mature, we have to tune up our hearing of the Word of God. We have to hear that better and, you know, tune it up. You know how it is, like you're listening to something. I mean, the implication is you're really paying attention to it. You really want to listen. Remember what he says? I have so much to say to you, but you are slow learners. Your hearing is dull. It's not sharp. Tune it up so you can move on to grow the way God expects you to grow, so that you can move on to be a mature individual. You start with the listening. I mean, isn't it amazing? I just thought about something. This is not in my sermon. It just came to me. What do you think when couples have issues, somebody will say, but you don't listen to me. You remember that? What do you think that is? There's some tuning up needs to be. The way that you guys are communicating, somebody's not, maybe you're not communicating effectively, or maybe he or she doesn't hear very well. Or maybe he just has selective hearing. He just hears whatever he wants, or, you know, and that. But then there's some tune up that needs to be taking place there. I heard that today when these two couples are arguing over the phone, and I'm just like listening. It's like, man, what can I say to them? And it's like, they're not listening to each other even. And it's like, it's hard to help you because you both just blaming each other. In order for us, church, to grow, to move on to a mature stage, we need to tune up. We need to hear that. Faith comes from hearing. The more that we hear, we need to. But you know, there are a lot of people hearing the messages and things, but and they're still not moving on. Why? Because perhaps their hearing is not that good. As your hearing goes, so will your faith. Some of you that wear hearing aids, you know how it is. Sometimes you have to take it to adjust it and like, oh yeah, sounds perfect right now. You have to adjust that because if there's some music blowing out there, you know, you might just have really a bad experience with that. So you got to tune it up as you're hearing God's word. Not just when the preacher is, I'm not talking about just hearing it when somebody's being preaching, like I'm preaching it to you right now, when you are studying it. I mean, sometimes we read it and just people like go read the Bible through a year. I just want to read it to tell people that I read the Bible. But are you really paying attention to what you're reading? Tune it up. It's like, you know, this is really, it's a sharp, it's a double-edged sword. Like, you know, well, how about this part here? It's like tuning it up. You really want to know what the Lord is telling you right there. So we want to move beyond the basics. Start with our hearing. Listening skills. Another thing, in order for us to move to maturity, is that you and I need to stop preferring spiritual junk food. I think a lot of Christians in America, they just content just eating junk food. They're spiritual junk food. I want to show you what those things are. You know, we're coming back from Danje and Joy's wedding, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm tuning up the radio. This guy's talking about that, and he just dawned on me. I'm thinking like, oh my word. That's so true. Like, we have so many things in church that we do, and we don't realize that we have made those things into a spiritual junk food. And I'm going to show you how it is. I mean, those things, they can be good, but for some people, they just become junk food. That's all they eat. I had a friend in the Chicagoland area. When he first came to America, all he wanted was McDonald's. For a whole month, he's eating just a grilled chicken sandwich of McDonald's, and he went to the doctor. The doctor said, you need to stop eating that, man. That's going to kill you. Because that's exactly what happens. All you eat in life is junk food. But we do have junk food in our churches. Now, the junk food definition, because I was struggling with this area, because I'm going to tell you some things that you might think like, oh, I cannot believe the preacher called that a junk food. It's not junk food, but we made it into it. And I'm going to show you how. So the definition of junk food that we have is food that has low nutritional value. It may be very appealing. You know how it is. It's like, man, that looks so good. It might be very appealing and enjoyable, but has no nutritional value. That's what, I mean, you can look it up. Junk food, that's how they define it. So we do have a lot of things in church that, in a sense, they don't have a lot of nutritional value. We just do it because church people, that's what they do. But when it comes to like, really, what's the nutrition part of this? It doesn't have any nutritional value. And so I think in America, we have this issue. And a lot of Christians are just eating junk food. And they wonder why they're malnourished. That they're just famished. They're starving to death spiritually because that's all they eat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You cannot just, after you grow up, I mean, think about it. The only thing you eat is junk food, you will die. I mean, yeah, you might be going for a while, but you're not getting the nutrients that you need. And like I said, in churches all over America, not just here, all over America, there are people that they're just content just eating. I mean, they passed the baby stage, but now that I'm a grown-up person, let me just eat junk food, spiritual junk food. Spiritual because there are spiritual things that we do. But if we only take that and do nothing else, it becomes spiritual junk food. Let me just give you some examples of that. Fellowship meetings. Those things are good. But if that's all you do in church, and that's the reason that you come to church just for fellowship meeting, that becomes spiritual junk food for you. That's not going to provide the nutrients that you need to be a mature individual. Are you with me understanding now? And you know, there are a lot of churches that they have fellowship meeting, and there's not even fellowship taking place. Perhaps just women talking about other women. Spiritual junk food. It's not going to help you if that's all you do. I mean, in fellowship meeting, you should have people caring for one another. And this is, fellowship is good. Please hear me out. This is good. But if that's all you do, it becomes junk food. You understand? If that's all you take, like there are people like, you know, all church experience for them is, oh, I just went to the fellowship. They don't read. They don't do anything else. For you, that fellowship meeting, it has become spiritual junk food. You think that you can go through the week because you went to a fellowship meeting. I feel sorry for you. How about attending Christian concerts, which we love? And it's awesome. Christian concerts and camps and conferences. I'd be going to one. But my life is just going to be around that conference that I attended. My whole spirituality is going to be just based on that camp that I go to. I'm eating spiritual junk food because that's the camp or conference. It's not going to get me through a mature stage in life. Are you with me, church? You see, when that's all you take, you're eating spiritual junk food, and no wonder you are malnourished, that you famished when it comes to that. Cannot substitute the word of God, as great as it is. There's no substitute for this thing. You know, how about this one? Listening to Christian radio. We all do that. I love it. But I'm praying that that's not just the only thing you do. Some people will say, well, I don't need to go to church because I tune it up on the radio, and man, the songs, and pretty soon on the radio you hear teaching like, oh yeah, all the animals go to heaven. It's like, and other things. So you have no idea what they're talking about because all you listen is to the music. And it is a good thing, but when I only do that in my life, through the week, through the month, and you think that that's going to carry me through the struggles in life, listening to Christian radio, it might for a little bit, but then eventually you're going to need more meat. So it becomes spiritual junk food. Or somebody said, well, you know, I don't need to go to church. I got the sermon online or the radio. And that's all they do. If that's all you do, then you are eating spiritual junk food because you're listening to the preacher. Good. You're listening to the word, but are you studying it now? You know, and now you have the attitude, well, I don't need to go to church because I can get the sermon online. But what does it tell you? I mean, you know, but there are Christians in America that they think that they are okay just eating spiritual junk food. Those things are good. But you have to do it. They're supposed to complement your faith, not replace the word of God, the teaching of God's word for that. Like they just, well, my week is on high. I just came from a conference, man, and the word was preached. That's awesome. So you're not going to go to church. You're not going to go in fellowship with anybody else because you're going to wait for another conference for you to be. I mean, think about you only eat once a week. Did you know that church, attending church on Sunday can become a spiritual junk food too? How? When you just come on Sunday morning and that's all you do. You don't read through the week. Or you're not in a Bible study somewhere. For some people, well, I went to church on Sunday. It's like, I'm going to. But did you listen to what the sermon was about even? So, church, if we want to move on to maturity, we cannot just depend on spiritual junk food. We need to get the nutrients from God's word. And not just when it's being expounded or preached, but you reading it, going through it. This is real. None of those things can replace knowing the word of God, studying it, get to know it. Those things are to complement that, not replacing it. And that's why in our society, in our nation, I mean, you hear people talking to Facebook. That's why Christians cannot agree about even politics. Why? Because we're being malnourished. You should know who you should be voting for if that person will agree with Christian values and morals. But they don't know. Because we're just being given this diet of spiritual junk food, and we don't even know what we believe anymore. Move on to maturity, the author of Hebrews says. And in order for us to do that, we need to tune up our ears. We need to not just eat junk food. We need to get into the true nutrients of the Word of God. Hearing. Faith comes from hearing this. And like I said, more than ever, we have more access to God's Word through that. I mean, everywhere you look. But for some of us, it's hard. Because it is hard sometimes when you want to get on shape because it requires hard work. But we're content just take this. And, you know, we don't want to educate ourselves, to tune up our ears, to go and really get the nutrients of God's word. That nothing, as good as they seem, as appealing as they seem, can replace knowing God's word, the Bible. That's why he said, therefore, let us leave the elementary things and move on to maturity. But in order for us to do that, we have work to do. We must leave the kindergarten chair behind. Leave the elementary things behind and move on to a mature stage. Now, moving on to maturity does not mean that you and I had to spend quality time with this book. We have to spend quality time reading and studying and attending Bible study where the Bible is preached. You know, sometimes people go to a church and the preacher don't even preach the Bible anymore. And that's why he or she is feeding that congregation. And guess what? That's junk food also. When we try to preach our own things and we just set that aside, that's... If I ever preach junk food to you, fire me. We just got to go into this thing. I don't want to even preach the word, you know, the Bible, when I want to just bring what I like from it. Like in our society, you know, we just swear on it, but we don't open it to see what we're doing agrees with what it says. That's junk food all over the place again. So it's like we got to be known people of the book. Why do you think it says that the first Christians were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship? You see, for the fellowship for them, it wasn't junk food. It was, they knew they needed to do it, but they didn't depend on that.